Part two with Zach Osterman here on a big show Friday, Groundhog Day Friday, February 2nd. And we thank the man from the Indianapolis Star to join us to get us ready for Penn State coming up tomorrow noon on Fox Sports 1 Indiana. A massive game. Well, they're all massive now that we've crossed the halfway point of the Big Ten season. And with two road games next week, the Nittany Lions, who are coming in off of a road victory already over Rutgers earlier in the week, they've got a new coaching staff there. They've got a handful of new players and transfers as well. But today has to be about, well, today was about Indiana. We met with Mike Woodson earlier this morning, and then Khalil Ware met with the media this afternoon. So let's start where everybody wants to know, buddy. Who's going to be healthy to go for tomorrow? Mike didn't tell us too much today, but I'm guessing since you talked to Khalil Ware just a few minutes ago that he will be banged up a little bit, but still ready to for action tomorrow. Noon on Fox Sports 1. How are you today?
I'm good. I think it's probably, you know, I mean, the reason we didn't talk to Khalil Ware Tuesday night, despite the fact that he was obviously Indiana's leading scorer and rebounder, was, you know, my understanding was he was getting treatment. So, you know, they kind of made him available today, but that gives you kind of an insight into, you know, banged up, needs treatment. Not that at this time of year, there are a lot of guys that don't need some form of treatment, but in the same breath, Indiana's not going to put a guy out there if they know he's out for the next three games or whatever. So probably some good signs there. And you know, given just the complexion of the roster and where things are for Indiana now, obviously pretty encouraging because, of course, the Hoosiers have some absences they've got to grapple with elsewhere.
And those absences elsewhere obviously are well-documented after Tuesday night with Malik Renew missing the final 37 minutes of what looked like a foot, ankle, or something, lower leg injury, as we are wont to say, and Xavier Johnson taking a hard fall later on in that game. Well, Mike Woodson's not going to come out and tell us what's wrong. No coach will ever do that. So what's the standard company line? We'll know more later today, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought there were a couple of interesting things. I mean, first of all, he didn't, you know, it did not sound like either player was sort of definitively out for the year or that was a serious consideration. He was still talking about them both in a much more day-to-day sort of sense. I thought it was also telling that Indiana that Mike Woodson, you know, he said it's an ankle for Malik Renew. I think in particular, he said it's an elbow for Xavier Johnson. You know, I think there were a lot of people that saw maybe the way he fell, and I didn't see the replay, but I talked to a number of people who obviously were watching on TV who said they thought he might have broken his arm just by the way it kind of bent and obviously the pain he was in. And, you know, listen, you fracture your elbow, there's, you know, there's no chance that heals in a month because it's just such a weird sort of collision of bones and ligaments and joints and things. So my point is you can at least kind of get some, you know, the way you hear him talk about Malik Renew feels like maybe it's an ankle sprain. The way you talk about, you know, Xavier Johnson, it feels like maybe it's either like a sprain or, you know, if the fall was really bad and he was obviously in a real amount of pain, you know, maybe it was like a dislocation, you know, that maybe not a serious one, not one of those that where it's like, oh, you know, God, don't show the replay, but you know, the joint just kind of became a little bit dislodged or something. And I guess that probably can also lead to, I'm not a sports medicine expert, but that can lead to, you know, ligament damage and things like that that could look like or result in a sprain, et cetera. So my point is, it doesn't seem like we're talking about an absolutely sort of season ender for either player, but it does feel like we're maybe talking about injuries that you'd be kind of surprised maybe to see either one, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand completely what you're saying. And Mike Woodson made the point, hey, guys, we haven't had a full complement of players since Thanksgiving. So this isn't anything new for this team. He harps on the concept of next man up. There is no next Malik Renew up. But this team and anybody who's been here for longer than a season has lived without Xavier Johnson before. So having that change in personnel isn't going to be the end of the world for this team. And, well, when they go a little bit smaller, they can affect the game in different ways. But I think as we saw Tuesday night, having 7'1" Khalil Ware back in the lineup, 23 points and 10 rebounds, that's the guy you can't replace really at all. Not the presence, not the reach, not the stay out of my lane, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I said this to somebody yesterday that I think, in a weird way, I think that despite the fact that obviously Malik Renu is their leading scorer, I think he's their most consistent sort of, hey, we need a basket. Let's, you know, Malik was, he's the most consistent sort of offensive conduit, both with the scoring and his passing. I actually think if you have to live without one of them, particularly when you are maybe forced to go a little bit smaller, obviously by the absence of one or the other in particular, I think Renu is maybe the one that you would prefer to have to live without, if that makes sense. And the reason I would say that is because while I completely acknowledge or completely, you know, and totally acknowledge what he does for Indiana offensively, when you're playing smaller, you know, having Ware to set your defense around the rim, to give you an anchor point in rebounding, to just sort of change the way an opponent is willing to attack the rim against you, I just think that's, in a way, a little bit more important, frankly, for Indiana just as a whole team. Now, again, the flip side is you maybe feel like there's not, especially without Xavier Johnson, too, who's probably your best player off the bounce, off the dribble, you know, what is life like when you're in a tight game, you know, down one possession and you need 2 points. But I just think that where, when you start taking away some of the versatility and some of the depth elsewhere for a team that, it should be said, Indiana is number one in the Big Ten in league games alone in effective field goal percentage defense and 3-point defense. When you start, you know, forcing to go smaller, tighten rotations, play guys more minutes, et cetera, that guy that is such an important piece of your defense and just sort of like sets the stage for so much else, you know, having him, I think, is very important.
Zach Osterman, the Indy Star beat reporter for Hoosier Basketball, joining us this afternoon. And you can follow Zach at Zach Osterman on the Twitterverse, IndyStar.com. Subscribe. Support local journalists. Please, please, please. We ask you, we beg of you. Penn State's the opponent. Indiana sits at 5-5. Do I have that right? 5-5 after 10 games in the Big Ten Conference. And Penn State first Saturday in February at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. The final Saturday in February at State College. So they will open the month of weekends and close the month of weekends with Penn State. Penn State's already done their work for the week. A 2-game road trip. They started in Piscataway in the earlier part of the week and blew out Rutgers on the Jersey Mike's court, where Indiana's had absolutely no success. So Penn State, new coaching staff, new everything else. And here they come to town, my man. You talked about Wahab yesterday being a problem in the middle, but Khalil Ware is back, so that's not a big deal. Kanye Clary is averaging 18 a game. Ace Baldwin, 13 points and 5 assists. Indiana will be challenged by what from Mike Rhodes' crew tomorrow noon on Fox Sports 1?
You know, you don't want to make out that Penn State sort of fixed its whole season. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But, you know, like it's whether you buy into the computer rankings or not, I always think it's instructive to just kind of see where a team is and kind of how they're ranking. I mean, they were 75th when they played Texas A&M in their first game at one of the tournaments down in Disney, I forget which one it was, but this was back around Thanksgiving, obviously. They're 102nd now. They kind of bottomed out around 123 or maybe 127, somewhere in there. Basically, they lost 6 of 7 between November 23rd and December 16th. There was an ugly home loss to Bucknell in there. They lost an overtime game by 1 point in New York to Georgia Tech, which is kind of a team probably similar in its conference to where Penn State is right now. And they've had some tough results since. I mean, they lost by 31 at Michigan State. They lost by 17 in a game that probably wasn't really that close against Purdue. They lost by 12 to an Ohio State team that really has frankly not had much other success besides beating Penn State at home since, you know, pretty much the new year. But, you know, they did beat Wisconsin at home. As you talk about, they beat Rutgers away, and I thought they looked, you know, impressive enough doing it. They've got the two guards that you talked about, Clary and Baldwin, that will challenge you, frankly, at both ends of the floor. Baldwin, it's worth saying, was Defensive Player of the Year in the A-10 last year. He transferred with Mike Rhodes from VCU. The other thing that I think is interesting is, and we talked about this yesterday, you mentioned Kudus Wahab. You know, he's not necessarily a first or a second option for this Penn State team. But he averages 9.2 points, 8 rebounds, a little under 1.5 blocks a game. He's a senior. He's a fifth-year senior. He's 6'11". He's listed at least at about 245, 250. My point is, you know, Khalil Ware kind of had his way Tuesday night with an Iowa team that just clearly was not at either end of the floor ready for his blend of size, length, reach, athleticism, et cetera. You know, Kudus Wahab he's not Patrick Ewing, but he's not going to be maybe quite so overwhelmed or overmatched, if you understand what I'm saying, by the, you know, the matchup that he sees when he goes up against Khalil Ware. So I think that the question for me, on the one hand, I think this is a game that is understandably going to test and stress Indiana's perimeter defense without, let's presume they don't have Xavier Johnson. You know, Penn State's not necessarily a great three-point shooting team. They will shoot a decent amount of them, not a ton, but they're fifth in the conference in three-point field goal attempts as a percentage of overall field goal attempts in conference play. So they're not afraid to go to the three-point line. They want to get downhill on you. They're going to trouble you at both ends. They're not the biggest team in the backcourt, but then again, without Xavier Johnson, neither is Indiana. And you can't necessarily just sort of look at, you know, for example, that post-battle that we saw Indiana win so kind of convincingly against Iowa and assume it's going to be quite such, you know, clean sailing for Indiana on Saturday. There are a couple other interesting elements of Penn State's profile. And this time of year, I tend to kind of just toggle over to their conference only stats, because that's the games they've been playing most recently. And there's, you know, it's a large enough sample size. They're not very efficient at either end of the floor, offensively or defensively. Teams make a fair few threes on them. Teams make way too many twos on them. They don't score very efficiently themselves. They're 11th in the conference in adjusted offensive efficiency. They are first in the conference in opponent turnover rate. They will turn you over. And again, a lot of that goes back to the guards.
I was going to bring that up. They had 20 turnovers. They forced 20 turnovers against Rutgers.
Clary's good. DeMarco Dunn's good. Jameel Brown's good. Ace Baldwin is outstanding. I think this, you know, it's again, especially if you don't have Xavier Johnson and the ball's going to be either in the hands of a freshman in Gabe Cupps or a player in Trey Galloway that at times has excelled as sort of a point guard type guard, but at times has also had some turnover issues. I think managing Ace Baldwin's impact in this game is going to be really meaningful. You're talking about a player who's got the highest steal rate in the Big Ten. So, you know, he's pretty much as advertised defensively. But then the flip side to that is there's some elements of Penn State's profile that also fit Indiana. They don't get to the free throw line a ton. They put opponents at the free throw line way too often. And they are both, I would say, a pretty bad offensive rebounding team and also a pretty bad defensive rebounding team. So it's kind of one of those where if Indiana can manage those guard matchups and Khalil Ware can at least kind of, you know, maybe win his one-on-one battle with Kudus Wahab, that doesn't mean he has to double him in points and double him in rebounds and, you know, block the ball back into his face four times, but just, you know, get the better of that matchup and, you know, maybe play it almost even in some respects in those backcourt matchups. I don't know what else Penn State really does, at least in their statistical profile, to hurt Indiana, but that second key in particular, managing the backcourt battle, if Xavier Johnson doesn't play, is going to be a difficult one. And I think it's going to be one where if you're Mike Woodson, you're looking at, you know, not just a Gabe Cupps, not just a Trey Galloway, but you're looking at Anthony Leal and saying, okay, let's make one game into two. You're looking at CJ Gunn and saying, you know, it felt like you maybe found something and then it kind of went away. And, you know, let's see if we can find it again. It's going to be a big game for Indiana's backcourt, I suspect.
Huge. And Kanye Clary did not play Wednesday night in Piscataway due to injury. So everybody's got injury problems. Ace Baldwin, as you mentioned, he had 5 steals that night, along with 10 assists and 15 points. DeMarco Dunn, the North Carolina transfer, had 14-7. And those are all backcourt players. So that's, to your point, that's going to be an interesting matchup. I guess the good news is the backcourt for Indiana has enough experience without Xavier Johnson recently that they should have have some plan of attack, how to move that forward. But the good news is I think a lot of this will have to do with Indiana. The noon crowd Saturday, I don't love that, but you can't do anything about it. So you better bring some energy. With Ohio State and Purdue, which we talked a little bit about yesterday, in the crystal ball moving forward, the key performance for Indiana tomorrow, is this going to be, it feels like, with the Penn State, this is going to be more of a game in the 60s and 50s than I would think 80 to 70.
I would assume so. I think if either team has the capacity to get that number, I mean, not knowing Clary's status, I think he was kind of declared day-to-day. I just did a quick Twitter search, and I'm not seeing any sort of flood of information on it so far today. If any team could, you know, maybe break, let's say 75, I think Indiana would be more likely to do it again. It is worth saying, like, Penn State's not a very good team defensively. They're ninth in the Big Ten in league games alone in adjusted efficiency. They're 12th or 13th in opponent effective field goal percentage, opponent offensive rebounding percentage, opponent free throw rate, and opponent two-point offense. So my point is, you know, this is, we can talk about how good Ace Baldwin is. Penn State as a team is not great defensively. They do force a lot of turnovers, which is a concern for Indiana. And I think where you maybe talk about a lower scoring game is perhaps in part Indiana playing at a pace that allows the Hoosiers to control those turnovers a little bit and that pressure a little bit more. But it's also just kind of a game where if you're Indiana, you talk about the early start. I get that, but you also get a Penn State team that played, you know, has 24 fewer hours to recover from its last game than you do. A Penn State team that was at Rutgers for an 8:30 tip on Wednesday night would have gotten back to State College probably like 2:00 in the morning Thursday just to get back on a plane first, you know, maybe 27, 29, 30 hours later to fly to Bloomington. My point is you're going to get a Penn State team that's not been handed, you know, a ton of favors here by the schedule makers. I know they did have the week off between the Ohio State and Minnesota games, but again, you know, they're going to play three games in 8 days, and the last two of those are going to be, you know, a late road trip leading into an early road trip. This should be a game I think Indiana can have some success in, especially if, you know, you kind of talk about maybe Indiana's ability to, I guess, for lack of a better term, just kind of build runs. And, you know, here's a 6-0 run and an 8-0 run. And, you know, maybe the focus slips for just a little bit. And then here's a 9-0 run to answer one that Penn State put together, whatever. Indiana, I mean, should have enough to win this game.
We haven't seen the turnover bug pop back in. This would not be the afternoon to do so. Cleary is 5'11". He's a water bug. Baldwin's only 6'1", so it's the quickness that's going to pose that issue. And as you mentioned, the Nittany Lions, they have their 10th in the country in turnover margin, and they are 15th in the nation in forcing them. So that will force Indiana not to play a little loosey-goosey, but like you said, we saw a lot of evidence on Tuesday night when Indiana gets settled in, moves the basketball, knocks down a few shots, and lets Big Fella in the middle get to action there. That should be the key. Penn State's 10-11. You got to bring the same energy you did against Iowa, and Iowa's not a Hall of Fame team this year either. This is more. Hey, Penn State's Penn State, but this is what we have to do. What we, being Indiana, has to do moving forward, because you've got Ohio State next Tuesday and Purdue next Saturday, and it just doesn't get any easier, does it?
You just got to start stacking some wins and some good performances. You know, if you can win this game, and we talked about this yesterday, if you could win this game and then go to Ohio State on Tuesday and win that game, then suddenly you've won three in a row, and you can argue you've put four in a row together that you'd feel good about going back to that Illinois game. You'd be 7-5 in the conference. You would feel like that Purdue game becomes a total free hit. Now, obviously, Indiana's going to be a comfortable underdog, but you would feel like, hey, there's nothing really to lose in West Lafayette. Let's just play loose. Let's play free. Let's just kind of compete and see what happens. We've played a couple close games there the last couple years anyway. And then we're going to have an entire week off before we get two pretty big games at home in Northwestern and Nebraska. So the point is, you know, on the one hand, this is a team that just needs to string some good performances together, play well, feel the confidence of playing well, start to establish some of the consistency of playing well, and then, you know, just kind of see where that leads them as the month goes on. On the other hand, there's also an element, I think, of momentum and a little bit of belief. This is a team that has not won two games in a row since either side of Christmas. It hasn't won two games in a row in Big Ten play since it started 2-0 with the Maryland and the Michigan wins. So, you know, get a couple more wins, get a little bit more wind in your sails, and just kind of see where things take you, frankly.
No, Jalen Pickett. No, Seth Lundy. No, Andrew Funk. None of those guys that knocked Indiana out of the Big Ten semifinal last March. The Hoosiers, what did I see? 23-3 all time against Penn State in the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. So it should be, awfully straightforward tomorrow. Let's get everybody healthy for the trip to at least Purdue next Saturday, but that Wisconsin game, listen to me. That Ohio State game on Tuesday will be a big deal as well. That could be a teeter or a totter, and we'll see how it works out. Fox Sports 1 tomorrow at noon for Indiana. The women will play at Fox Sports 1 Sunday at noon against Ohio State in Columbus. Have a great weekend, my friend. Enjoy that noon game. I know that helps your life out a little bit, doesn't it? Don't you like? Is it the noon games you like for basketball? I know you don't like them for football.
Oh yeah, let's get it started. Let's get it finished.
We'll get caught up with you next week on the airwaves to see how the performance was against the Nittany Lions and the Buckeyes and preview the trip to Mackey Arena. Great job as always, my man. I appreciate it, and we'll see you soon, buddy.
Talk to you soon, Glass. Thanks for having me.
At Zach Osterman. That's my great friend from the Indy Star, IndyStar.com. At Zach Osterman on the Twitter, at Indy Star Sports as well. You can follow during the game, after the game. They're fantastic coverage. Mike Nyes helps out from the Herald Times. They're all owned by the same people as well. So support your local journalists, please, can you? That would be awfully, awfully nice of you. We need to take a time out. It is the Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on a Big Show Friday, Groundhog Day edition. Will we play live Groundhog audio when we come back? No, we already did that, so we're not going to do that again. The Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. They will open their doors tomorrow morning. You might want to check social and see what time they do get going. But usually daily at 11 for lunch, dinner, or late night. Catch all of your favorite hoops and football and soon-to-be baseball and NBA. All the great things plus delicious food and drinks. The Crazy Horse Tavern on Kirkwood. Happy Hour on a Big Show Friday continues next.